My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Watch Out for Fireballs. It is a Games Club podcast.
And
spooky month.
Yep, we are beginning October, our horror game coverage here with Amnesia the Bunker, which is a survival horror game developed and published by Frictional Games for the PC and consoles in 2023. And boy, yeah. What a game to start with.
It's a real good game. This is a great game.
Really, really good.
it's you know, I've been looking forward to talking about this. I'm going to throw this out there real early. I think this is worth people's time. Mm-hmm. We are not going to be spoiling, you know, the story stuff that gets spoiled in this is pretty immaterial in my opinion.
Yes.
What is more interesting is this is a systems-based, like kind of MSIM game. It is fun to figure stuff out on your own.
Mm-hmm.
So we will be robbing that from you.
Yeah.
If this has any interest to you, I think you should play it. It's real good. And because I want Frictional to get a big pat on the back for doing this. This is the direction I want to see them move in.
Mm-hmm.
I love it when a walking sim developer graduates to mechanics. I know that's a condescending way to put it, and I'm being a little bit tongue in cheek.
I mean,
but
returns, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Penumbra.
This is their most Penumbra-like game that they've done.
Yeah.
Since Penumbra, but I love, you know, people realizing like you can do more, like you can have atmospheric tricks in concert with mechanical pressures and concerns, and they can work together in this beautiful thing we call video games.
Yeah. They ought to work together. They work very well together. Yeah.
Yeah. And in this game, they work together very specifically. Very well.
Yeah. So in this, you play as Henri Clément, who is a French soldier who suffers an injury in World War One, and wakes up trapped in this bunker that has been torn apart by this prowling monster. And he has no recollection of how things got this way.
He has a minor amount of amnesia. Amnesia is the least important to the plot in this one, as it could be in any of the Amnesia games.
Big changes here. There's a man. Yeah. Sorry. All of these points are rushing forward. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Cool. Settle down, Bubby. So this is a first person, like everything Frictional has done so far. This is a first person horror game. The odds are stacked against you. You are hiding from and fleeing a monster that you cannot kill. That is so much so Amnesia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that could describe Amnesia, The Dark Descent.
Yes.
This is different.
What makes this especially cool, you know, to talk about and to think about, aside from just playing it and, you know, examining it for itself, is the way that this exists in conversation with and what I see as a refutation of Amnesia, The Dark Descent and its legacy in the horror space of the hide and seek, you know, walking sim where occasionally you have to avoid something. There's a little bit of a sense of, I don't know that this is Frictional's, you know, how they feel about it, but it is the Onion thing where, you know, Wes Anderson lights himself on fire for what he has wrought.
Yes.
Kind of thing. Like,
you can see this with almost every, you know, game, like genre. Like, this has happened so many times and certainly happened with horror games. It's hard to overstate. Like, people are listening to this who maybe didn't live through it, maybe don't know that that was not the standard for horror games.
Right.
Prior to Amnesia, the like walk around / get chased. And it was like what puzzle platformers were,
yeah,
you know, it had that kind of effect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But there were pursuit-based horror games. You had Clock Tower, you had a Haunting Ground and stuff, but like putting it in first person, and you know, Amnesia the Dark Descent was the mold for a while, for a decade, for 13 years basically. This just upends the apple cart. So unlike those previous games, The Bunker is a non-linear immersive sim. You've got this strong mechanical focus and multiple ways to solve the problems that are put in front of you. And like we said earlier, this does feel very similar to Penumbra, right? You know, specifically, like, this feels a little bit like a, an up-resing or a reimagining of Black Plague, down to even being in a non-linear bunker, right?
Yes. Yeah. So we have this bunker, and what this means is that you will be doing things that are pretty routine, but instead feel incredibly dramatic and dangerous.
Yes.
Because you're interfacing with AI systems. Mm-hmm. When you say IMSIM, you know, immersive sim, what we mean is these systems operate independently as opposed to scripted.
Yes.
You know, so this is whereas in, say, Hamnesia, A Machine for Pigs, when the pig man shows up, with the pig man he shows up at a certain point, he can't walk past a certain line, you know, he can't hurt you. Here instead we got a Mr. X, we got Alien Isolation. There's a thing out there, and it is going to interact with all the other things out there, and you can manipulate the thing. It's just much more close to doing real-time problem solving as opposed to guessing the correct answer to an equation, you know, that the developers came up with.
And all of these systems have hooks into each other. So what the monster responds to via light and via sound, that hooks to the light system, that hooks to the way that you deal
system
with the
doors and walls and stuff. You can manipulate these things.
Dealing with the rats.
Like, you can pit these things against each other, you know, in ways directly and indirectly.
So talk about the structure of this game. You have the central admin area, and a main hallway that goes to these various wings. You will keep returning to the central area, and this game is kind of built on making kind of like shuttle runs, you know, extending shuttle runs into these other areas, looking for, you know, the item that you need to progress somewhere, be it elsewhere or deeper into that wing.
It's a really large escape room.
Yes.
Or just the mansion from Resident Evil. You know, like this is taking those kind of scarcity and inventory mechanics and escape room style puzzles, kind of, and making that the focus of the horror. Yes. Like, imagine just mansion Resident Evil is kind of how this feels a little bit with a Mr. X. About there. The admin's your safe room. It has your save point. You're going to be going there. You can store your extra items, even though inventory is limited here. The thing that's going to keep you coming back here, other than that, and inventory is very limited.
Yes.
You know, it's worth camping on that for a second. You are the same way in old Resident Evil games. You are making a plan. I need the crank handle, but I also need to take enough supplies to get to the crank handle, you know, where I'm going to insert it safely.
Yeah.
You know, and that means I can't pick up this herb that's on the ground. You're making the same kind of decisions.
Right.
This is exactly that. The other thing, reason you're going back is, in addition to saving your game, is this is where the generator is. The generator keeps the lights on. You're going to be finding fuel. You need to keep the generator fueled, or the bunker plunges in darkness, which is both hard to operate in and activates the threat more. But a part of a healthy bunker run is doing some shit in darkness.
You're gonna gotta do it. Gotta finish out.
Well, you gotta do it, and you also gotta you know, there are times where it just makes sense. You're making this like constantly making this very interesting resource choice.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just going down to the storage lockers. I know where that's at. You know, I haven't seen the guy in a while. Last time I saw him, he was far away. I bet you I could risk doing that in the dark and not waste fuel. Those are the kind of, like, you know, decisions you're gonna be making constantly.
Yes.
In the game. And they're really interesting because things are very limited. All these systems are pressing on you from different directions.
You do get a stopwatch that you can use to check how much time is left in the tank. I almost never use this, actually.
It takes an inventory slot.
Yeah, it takes an inventory slot. Why didn't you just let it ride, baby? I know roughly how much I put in there.
Yeah. It's one thing, you know, this is a nitpick. And in the game, there are a couple of things I thought of with this that I wanted to see modded into it.
Yeah.
One would be the real time on the stopwatch rather than showing an hour, you know, it being a video game hour that goes by in like, I don't know, how, like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure. I would have made this real.
Yeah.
Just for you don't have to do the conversion in your head.
For a second, I thought you were asking for it to show you the system time.
Oh, no. Just the stopwatch, you know, like an hour in real life be an hour in game.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're going to want to keep those lights on because that the monster, the beast that is hunting you, it is averse to light and it's going to be less active when the lights are on.
Not they'll still inactive.
Right.
Yes. That's worth noting, too. All of these things that are safeties that you have, because the way we're describing this could be like a Five Nights at Freddy's.
Yeah.
All you have to do is keep the lights on and it stops the jump scare from happening. But it doesn't. All you're doing in this game, one of the reasons why this game works, is there aren't absolutes in it. You are just doing kind of percentages and influencing behavior.
It's risk mitigation in real time. Yeah.
You know, you can make a noise to try to draw the beast away. Something else might be drawing the beast forward. It may not work. You are doing chances. You know, I can make this area very well lit up, so he's less likely to attack. But if I piss him off enough, he still will attack.
Yeah. You know? Like, you know, if the light's on, he will stay out in the open for a shorter amount of time. Right. Yes. Like he will only respond to the loudest of sounds, rush to where it is, attack you if he sees you there. But he will be searching for the next hole you know, climb back in and hide from it. If the light is out, he will be more actively hunting. Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is what you're balancing here.
Yeah. And you get these really dramatic moments, like we said, where you're far away from home, the lights go out, and suddenly you have to very carefully find fuel and then get back to the bunker, possibly moving through a lot of space, maybe very dangerous space, you know, to get there. Maybe after, you know, grudgingly solving the problem that you wanted to solve in the dark, right?
Yes.
You're only other reliable source of light when you are in the darkness is one of my favorite like little fuck you mechanics in a game, which is the in previous Amnesia games, you had a big old lantern that you had to find oil for to keep fueled. It was its own deal. This, you get a period accurate little wind up dynamo flashlight.
Yeah. They're called trench flashlights or trench lights. I after playing this, I looked around for one of those because like I want one of these. You know, especially if it works, the action seems really satisfying. In terms of effectiveness as a flashlight, it fucking sucks.
Oh, it's terrible.
It's a handheld flashlight that is bad, like it does not cast very much light, and you can start it like a lawnmower for about 30 seconds of light.
Yep.
And it's the loudest thing in the world, like it makes a lot of noise, which will attract the monster.
Yeah.
And create noise. Like all great games that do these kind of interlocking systems, this is a tool and a detriment. Like you can use this to attract the monster. There are many things you might want to make noise to make the monster get near an area, which and then you move away before it shows up, things like that. You can do that.
It's this to draw the monster to where you were, like if you can move, as opposed to using a bottle, which is a limited resource to throw and make noise, you know, distantly, right? Projecting that noise elsewhere. Yeah.
This is your consistent noisemaker for this. Or to draw the beast through like a door.
Yes.
You know, you want to save a grenade, you want to save some bricks, you make the monster go through the door.
Yeah.
These moments for me were really interesting because they never were moments of tension. It was always moments of sprinting. So I mean, I guess it's still tense, but I was never like hiding. I always like, you know, the first time I was like, I'm gonna be really careful. And then I got too spooked and you sprint. So the way that these wings all work from the central area is they're all maze-like in a slightly different way. And designed to be, you know, you navigate them very slowly the way in because there are traps and things to slow you down, but you have to sprint out. You know, there's a good chance you'll have to run back to admin through there. So it's kind of testing your knowledge of that and you are panicking. When you're being chased, like you're going to end up walking into dead ends on accident, things like that. It's really good. It's super Scooby Gang. Like it's real, like super fucking Runaway is the mode you go into.
Yeah. I consider that to be tension, you know. They do give you some like closets to hide in. You know, this is not necessarily, it doesn't always devolve down to Jurassic Park stealth where you're going around
very rarely.
Kitchen Island. Yeah.
Like I actively avoided Jurassic Park stealth in this because it felt like a way to get me killed. Like the times I would try it, he would often find me eventually. Yeah. You know, I always had to be, it was like proactive stealth. I had to create a distraction and go run for it. If I were hiding in a closet, I would do it not until he had, like his counter had reset because I got the closet ripped open several times in this. Yeah. You know, the closet is not safe here. Yeah. I would wait for him to be in the other corner looking and then run.
Yeah. It'd be more like, I'm going to climb under this bed or under this table just to like get a momentary sprint. It was never like, okay, I'm going to wait for him to entirely flee. I'm going to wait until he is, you know, in a disadvantageous position so I get just enough of a lead to get where I need to go.
Because once I knew these areas, basically I could get back faster than he could. And again, the way that the way in interacts with the way out, there are all these traps you avoided on the way in. And if you remember where they're at, they will set off the monster will set them off.
Mm-hmm.
That's so fucking cool. You know, it's a really cool gameplay loop to be like, I need to remember at this juncture, there's a tripwire. Mm-hmm. So when I get here, I need to jump. But I know if I'm running away from the monster, that'll give me enough time to get back to base.
Yeah. He's not going to know to avoid that. Yeah.
Yeah. Super cool. He can come from anywhere, basically. So, and he also, if he attacks you, you don't die in one hit on normal. Mm-hmm. You do on the more advanced difficulty mode.
Yeah.
But it does fuck you up.
Yeah.
You get really hurt, and one of them, we'll talk about this injury mechanic later. You don't want to be injured. You
know, no. Yeah, if you're injured, you're going to be leaving blood trails that will draw him to you if he's on the hunt. And also, we'll talk about the rats, but the rats get it's dinner time. Yeah,
they get hyped up. Yeah. The beast can go anywhere because there are tunnels in the walls.
Yeah,
one of the first things the game shows you, it's like it's this type of game. he's going to emerge and escape into these little big daddy holes in the walls. Some of these are really cleverly hidden. Some of them are just there to psych you out. Mm-hmm. Like there are ones that are hidden and there are ones that are very specifically just the centerpiece of a room to signal to you, even if nothing's going to happen to you in that room, to make you feel unsafe while you're exploring it.
Yeah. He's going to be coming right away. And like knowing where these things are is really important because he'll generally come out of the one that is closest to whatever noise is made. So understanding like I need to position myself when I do this so that when he emerges, I do not need to run through him to get to whatever safety I'm seeking. Yeah.
You can also you can't block these off permanently, but you can slow him down.
Yes.
If you pile up, you know, this is a physics game. It's got penumbra, you know, frictional engine stuff. Mm-hmm. If you pile stuff up in front of these, he will have to go through them.
Yeah.
So if there's a hole you know he's going to emerge from, you can slow him down from that hole.
Mm. God, it's so fucking good, Gary.
Yeah. All that stuff, all those little levers, like the game I don't think it fully delivers on this. You know, this isn't Prey. But like in the beginning, it's like if you think you can do something, you probably can.
Yeah.
Like that's not quite true, but it's way more true than you would expect.
It's true enough.
Yes, right. Certainly true enough. Like there are a lot of different little things you can do.
Yeah.
And I love that in video games.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
This is the first Amnesia game with guns. And I love that it is not just, hey, you're blasting down zombies that are coming at you. These are tools more so than anything. Right. Like you have a pistol and you have a shotgun. Ammo is extremely limited. And it is very slow and awkward to reload them. I think that a trained World War One serviceman would know how to reload a revolver probably a little bit faster than this, but it works for effect. Right.
Our soldier sucks.
Yeah.
He's a really bad soldier.
It's real all quiet on the Western Front kind of stuff.
This is a kid. This is a teen.
Yeah.
The shotgun is more of just a weapon, but you don't get that until the end.
Right. Really. Right.
The gun is a tool.
Yeah.
Almost entirely.
Yeah. Does not kill the beast. It will just scare him away. You know, the shotgun will do it mostly in one shot. I've found the pistol, you've got to put a few into him to get him to leave. Yep. Depending on if it's light or dark. Yeah.
So there's a kind of, when this happens, you're kind of making a decision whether you're going to try to stun him and finish up what you're doing, you know, or just distract him for a second so you can run away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The pistol's a remote detonator, I found.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. You use that to blow up things or just to make a very loud noise. in a faraway location through that. I didn't end up using the shotgun for destructible doors at all. I used bricks and grenades.
Yeah.
Grenades, which you find in this more than you find bullets, are keys.
Yes.
In this. You also find flares and gas grenades. Yeah. And there are explosive barrels and gas barrels around.
Yeah.
I very, very rarely used gas.
Oh, gas is so good.
we'll talk about this when we get to the structure. Gas mask didn't show up for me.
Yes.
Didn't get the gas mask. I'm sure I could have if I would have been more completionist, but that goes into the kind of goal of the game. I don't know where to put this in the notes, but like...
Oh, it's later. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll talk about that later in that case. Yeah. Didn't get the gas mask. So I ended up using gas grenades to disperse rats, wait a very long time, and then go past them. But frag grenades were my bread and butter, both as a key and a rat dispersal and a last minute stun from time to time.
Yeah. Gas mask opens up strategies where you've got those gas barrels that are around. Like if thinking very quickly, I've got to run. I need safety. The monster will not run into gas. So I will shoot the gas barrel, put on the gas mask, run into the cloud, and then wait for the monster to lose interest and then go away.
Hide in the fog.
Yes. Yeah. There's a crafting system for making bandages, torches, and Molotov cocktails. The crafting system interacts with the fuel in a very interesting way. Because you know that fuel is meant for filling up the generator for getting light, but also you want to be able to make these Molotov cocktails to help mitigate the other threat, which are these mutated rats. They're big. Well, go ahead.
And the bandages, it reminds me a little bit of a slightly less robust version of The Last of Us.
Yeah.
Because bandages are also used for Molotovs or healing. You know, it's a crafting system where, as opposed to having 70 different types of things, you have three different things that are all mutually exclusively useful for things that you equally want.
Yeah. I've got this cloth. Do I want to take two of them, turn it into bandages, or is that a material for Molotovs? And Molotovs are very costly from a, raw ingredient point of view. And also from an inventory space point of view. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rats. No. These rats are gaga for bodies. You're primarily going to find them gathering around and munching on dead bodies, people torn apart by the beast, usually at choke points. If you get close, they will bite and attack you. Don't try jumping over them. They can rear up on their hind legs.
Yeah, it does not work. Video game jump is not good enough.
No. Yeah.
And this is a bad thing because, one, like, they can kill you, obviously. But two, blood trail, as we mentioned before.
Yeah.
Most of the blood trails I got were not from the actual beast. They were from rats.
Yes.
And then if he's out, he will follow that blood trail around you. So you have to stop and bandage yourself, which takes time.
Yes.
To do that with very, very satisfying cano bandages you pull out. I know that's how they worked, but it just is very very appealing looking. Yep. Very nice cylinder there.
Once you pop, the bleeding stops.
Yeah, exactly. Which is what I want. You have to scare the rats. You can do a lot of things to the rats there. The torches will scare them away. So that's a thing you can use a bandage on if you want, on a stick and fuel and a thing. You can use grenades or Molotovs to get rid of them and burn the body. You can just knock things on them. You can throw things at them.
Yep.
There's a very, very comical, when I played, I don't know how much of it is universal, but there was a bunch of rats with like a crate tilted above them, like Riley E. Coyote. Having like an Acme crate above his head, and I just pushed him down on there and killed him. And then I was like, "Oh, okay.
Yeah.
From now on, I'm going to throw shit at them. You can just murder them.
Yeah.
And of course, you can shoot them. That causes noise. But like, you can do all these things.
Yeah.
You can also deny their food.
Yes.
If you burn the bodies, they won't eat the bodies.
Yeah.
So then they'll go look for food elsewhere.
Yeah. Like killing an individual rat will deal with that rat temporarily. More rats will come. You've got to get rid of their food source in order to stop them from convening at these choke points, right?
Yeah. So the way they work is kind of like area denial. Like they're not moving around and stalking you.
Yeah.
They're not an enemy. It's a hazard that'll be in a specific room. Like I cannot get too close to this, or I have to try to find a way around this.
Yeah.
And they put them at like choke points and stuff as well in hallways.
Yeah. So like, we've talked about that physics stuff. Like objects are, you know, have always been, have had physics in Amnesia games, mostly for the purposes of, you know, mostly for Novant Falcon purposes. Like, yes. I can pull this drawer here now. Ooh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's immersion, right? Yes. You maybe had a few block puzzles. Here you can smash stuff. You can smash rats, bricks. There are way fewer bricks than there are anything else in the game. But one brick will open up two wooden doors.
Yes, before it crumbles into dust.
Yeah.
You know, it's there's a little bit less like physics puzzle stuff than in Penumbra, where you're like, you know, making seesaws.
Yeah, yeah.
Things like that. It's more real life solutions. It's mm-hmm. most of your puzzles in this are how to get past a door.
Yes.
You know, a door is locked. You don't have the key. You can't get the key. What do you do? Which is a cool puzzle, because like that's something you do all the time in video games. Mm-hmm. In real life, though, that's a real problem.
Yeah.
You know, I would be looking for bricks. I would be trying to find barrels of gunpowder, shit like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. all those barrels of gunpowder you run across in your day-to-day life.
Yeah. Yeah, down at the gunpowder factory.
Yeah, yeah.
So these consumables, all these little elements we're talking about, are rare, and they're also randomized. Yeah. You know, we'll go into this structure thing again a little bit, but when I'm talking about, I don't know if you had this, or I talk about I didn't get the gas mask, that's by design. Mm-hmm. You will get different things in different orders. It's kind of a roguelike almost.
Yeah.
In a weird way. Which is more of a New Game Plus.
Yes.
You know, kind of mode to it. Don't be scared off by that either. You're not signing up for a roguelike you play forever and ever.
No.
And this
no.
you can beat it once. It's just mm-hmm. there if you want to play it again as like a master quest.
Yeah. Kind of thing. Like your second play is like there are also things that just show up earlier, like instead of needing to beat that guy, to beat that boss to get the shotgun like later on.
Yeah.
Like you can just find it in a locker. Right.
See, yeah. In the your first playthrough, the beast doesn't spawn until you get a certain way through. In mm-hmm. subsequent playthroughs, he spawns automatically. Things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And we said, when we say it's not like a pure roguelike, you know, it has fixed geometry, and the main items that you need to advance the story and also to get into the different parts of the bunker, those are going to be in fixed places, right?
Yes.
But yeah. then you have these, you know, kind of secondary items, utility items like the lighter and like the gas mask that are hidden in these lockers in mission supply.
Hidden.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. So you'll get different codes depending on, and there are also lockers that just have consumables.
Yes.
And depending on your playing, there are certain codes that are mandatory that you mm-hmm. need to get through the game. But many of them are just depending on which ones you find them through these dog tags. Mm-hmm. You flip through and look at the back of the thing. One of the things that this works with is your goal in this is not to find everything.
No.
You know, you're trying to escape. Mm-hmm. They give you, if you try to be a completionist in this, you will end up with like 13 frag grenades, mm-hmm. like just an absurd amount of stuff. You're not meant to get it all.
No.
In this. You want to get out. You want to escape. You want to live. And that's a weird way that it's using the immersive sim mechanics, tying them to horror, to do something kind of new in mm-hmm. that like immersive sims, typically you do want to do everything.
Yeah.
You know, you can solve a problem any way you want. But like, you know, J.C. Denton, Deus Ex, you famously go through an area, and if you're going to shoot through it, then you crawl through all the vents to find all the stuff you missed.
Right.
This is a you choose the one to do. Mm-hmm. You know, I went and accomplished this goal at the end of this wing. These are the codes I came back with. But here are the fuels I couldn't take with me. Here are the bullets I couldn't take with me. That's mm-hmm. probably not worth another trip. It's not worth the danger of that. I did the thing I needed to do. I'm just not going to know those locker codes, and I'm not going to get that lore. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the epistolaries that tell the game's story.
Yeah.
You're not necessarily going to get all of those in a single playthrough either.
Yeah. No. I love it. Like more so than any other like horror game, this is incentivizing you to act like an actual human being.
Yes. Yeah.
You know?
That's kind of, you know, what I meant with that, the door thing as mm-hmm. well as with, you know, the imsim.
Yeah.
I don't have time to do all the things. I can't mm-hmm. be a completionist. I am trying to survive.
Yeah.
And that's a rare thing, right? Yeah. For like a game to do. Even games that take survival as a core mechanic.
Yeah.
You know, you play like Project Zomboid, or you play when we did God, what is it? Not Dead State.
State of Decay.
State of Decay. there's still that gamer part of you that wants the resources, mm-hmm. and you become empowered enough to where it's like, no, I'm actually going to strip this construction site.
Yeah.
I don't need to, but mm-hmm. I'm going to because I want those little gamer points. I want to be able to do more cool stuff. Mm-hmm. This game does as good a job at discouraging that.
Yeah,
of a game I played and stop you from being a little gamer goblin.
It's more, it is more like the way I would be probably in this actual situation. I'd be fucking dead. Just the way I act in real life, which is like, I'm not going to carry that with me. I just remember where it was, and maybe I'll go back and get it. Like, just if I need that, it's there,
Which, makes sense. And a lot of times you don't need it. Mm-hmm. The game is balanced as such to where you can try to get out.
Yeah.
And make that your actual goal, and it works.
Yes. A mechanical omission or change here is that this is the first Amnesia game without a sanity mechanic. I don't think anything of value was lost with that, because you have to remember Amnesia's sanity mechanic was just, if you are in the dark, the game is just constantly overlaid with tooth grinding sounds.
Yes. The other thing that was part of that that carries over to this is, if you look at the monster, mm-hmm. You will make noises and it will know you're there.
Yes.
That's true in this as well.
Mm-hmm.
So the end goal of the sanity mechanic in The Dark Descent was that you would start freaking out and then you would make noise. Mm-hmm. That never came across as well as it should have. In this one, you just had to avert your eyes. If you're hiding in a closet, look at your shoes.
Yeah.
If you're watching the monster to see if it will find you, then it's going to tear open the closet and kill you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when we talk about, you don't need to find all of those little epistolaries or whatever, I think it's really cool the way that this game decides to tell its story. There are no scripted events. This is not, a bunch of levels where people are going to be talking to you. You're not getting these flashbacks, to dialogue, people explaining to you. There's one other person whose mind is still there who, is talking to you, and he dies right at the beginning of the game. Yeah. Right. This is not a cinematic experience at all. Instead, everything is done through epistolary. It is journals and memos, and it's really, really possible to escape the bunker without learning the precise nature of what happened here. You miss that note, and then suddenly this is all a mystery, right?
Again, very Resident Evil.
Yeah,
you're finding itchy tasties. They're better than itchy tasties. Mm-hmm. they're more detailed and more sensical. But this reminds me so much of classic Resident Evil.
Yes.
In the structure there.
Mm-hmm.
So graphically, the game relies on light and darkness and shadow. It does a really great job with this. This is Frictional's trick.
Mm-hmm.
They're always really good at this. This is not a thing where the graphics are good when it's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Your hand holding the pistol does not look good in a video game way. The rats do not look good in a video game way.
Mm-hmm.
At all. They kind of look like they're from Penumbra. This is outdated. It's getting everything it's doing based on light, shadow, and atmosphere, which is all it needs.
Yeah.
I like it being a little bit abstracted, how the people look. Your mileage may vary about that. It's just, I don't want to be like, the graphics in this are good, and have somebody be like, you fucking idiot.
There are no shaders, man. I don't care.
Of good graphics. Like, that's not what we mean when we say it's more atmosphere and lighting.
It's effective graphics, right?
Yes,
let's say that.
And sound design.
Oh my god, this is some of the best sound design I've ever heard.
It's really good.
Just being able to track the monster's motion, the way that the overall just like tenor of the place changes depending on whether or not the bunker or the generator is going.
They did a great job.
So good, and just it just heightens the tension so fucking much. This is a scary game.
Yeah, it's very scary. It's even when you know the trick, like you get through it, and I realized, I was thinking about this game after playing it, and I was like, this isn't a time I was not in danger. Mm-hmm. Now that I know how this works, this thing was scary for no reason. I was not in danger, etc. Mm-hmm. Like, I bet you it's a game, I haven't watched any of them because I just haven't had time, but I bet you it's a game where speedruns become very perfunctory.
Yeah.
Because you're manipulating these systems, similar to like a Hitman speedrun. I throw this coin, it causes everyone to look in this direction, which allows me to do this thing.
Yeah,
I imagine it works similar to that somewhat. It's doing tricks. It's just great at doing tricks.
Yeah.
You know, no individual element looks very scary. The monster design is not super scary, I don't think. You know, in a vacuum, the areas are scary, but there's nothing particularly new about it. Like it's my catnip. Like a bunker is a scary place to me.
Yes.
You know, some of the other scary set pieces that show up are things I like, but it's not brand new. You know, it's not haunted house scary. It's not, I'm seeing a scary image and that's a cool, scary thing. It's the Maniac Mansion. I'm in a place I shouldn't be under a time limit.
Yeah.
And I don't know what's going to happen next scary.
Yeah.
It's engaging in a really cool form of terror. This game.
Yeah. It's incredibly successful. Talking about like kind of the biographics on this, so Frictional had released Soma in 2015. Both of us really liked that game. And they returned to the Amnesia series with Amnesia Rebirth in 2020. That is more similar to The Dark Descent, and it is a good game in its own right. It is very different from this. I think you would like it, Gary, actually, because the way that it handles stealth and pursuit is unique to itself. It is the monsters smell you. So like it is.
It takes big, like, rowdy pisses in different corners to distract the monster. You throw bottles of piss instead of just bottles. I got you.
It's more like you can't really hide from them. It is more about like, I don't know, like you're hiding while moving is the way. It combines hiding and running in a way that I had not necessarily seen before. But that is very interesting in telling like a very direct story. And it is more on the cosmic side of Amnesia, you know,
That is my understanding. I read a little bit about, I haven't played that. I was like, oh, we'll do that for the show at some point, and put it in that pile. I'm interested. I just haven't tried it yet. But it's that is my understanding reading about it. When they started making this, they started making the bunker. They're considering this to be a pivotal entry in the series. You know, using these immersive sim mechanics, using the structure. They're viewing this as their next big move. And I've said it before. I feel proud of them. For it. It's a weird thing, but I've been, you know, I played Penumbra before I played Amnesia. Like I'm an old school Frictional fan. I'm not trying to hipster, you know, but yeah, I played those games. Heard buzz about them, played them, you know, was really excited when Amnesia came out. I've been a fan of this company for a really long time. You run out of things to do with walking sims. Like I don't, you know, turn my nose up at a walking sim. There are several that I like quite a bit. One of the things that I feel like has changed in my gamer brain over the last 10 years is kind of falling a little bit out of love with them, basically thinking the things you do with them, you can do with mechanics and strengthen them.
Yeah.
You know, like you can get that same kind of story, the same kind of atmosphere and everything. Having a mechanical thing can be so much more additive, you know, and just really wanting that, you know, give me both. Hit me with both barrels. I want to be engaged on a play level and a psychological level. I don't want to just watch a story.
Yeah.
You know, that I've been less interested in that as time has gone on. There are exceptions. You know, I love Devotion. That's a great video game. Largely a walking sim. There are tons of exceptions, but at the same time, I'm really happy to see one of the godfathers of the, you know, vaguely mechanical walking sim horror game stretch their wings into something new. It feels great.
Yeah. I really, really hope that they gain traction with this. I hope that it is as influential as the Dark Descent. In a way, it almost feels like it couldn't possibly be, but like a person can hope, right? Because
this is going to make me sound like an elitist dickhead in terms of like making walking sims and stuff, but like this takes a lot of craft. Like Amnesia knockoff games took less craft than the bunker knockoff games would take because there's tuning going on in this. Like it is not just how good of a story you can make, it's how can you refine these mechanics so they elevate the story and don't get in the way at all. Making an Amnesia, like, you know, comparatively easy.
And you know, like it shifts the labor and it shifts the artistry around. Like it is much more in the you know, on the art, like the actual visual and, you know, audio art and, you know, scripting and things like that. Just, you know, the things that make less use of the video game medium, right?
I guess it's a more common skill set. Maybe that is a way that I would put it. Like, I don't mean to undermine it. Like, you know, writing stories and doing art are both things that are very hard to do. You know, I I do those things and they're hard to do. Yeah. I'm not undermining it. It's just, I know more people who can write a scary story than I know can code a immersive sim set of systems that enforce horror.
Yeah. Forget code, like design them in a way where they will interact with each other in an interesting, in an interesting fashion. You know, I can tell you as somebody who is very in tune with especially indie horror games, but just, you know, just broadly horror games, you know, like Amnesia, this kind of pursuit based, you know, mechanics light, you know, walking around a place has pretty much turned into a genre that I call flashlight house.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and if this can just utterly destroy the concept of a flashlight house, then I will be very, very happy to see that.
Flashlight houses peaked with Eggs for Bart, and they probably should have just retired at that point.
Probably.
You know, like, I my point just being, I think that like flashlight houses are probably easier to make.
There's more, they're more, they are, undeniably more common on the market.
Yes. Right.
Flashlight house is giving way a little bit to back rooms alike, you know, liminal spaces kind of stuff. But
even then though, I don't know that idea can spend for a trend. I hope it doesn't.
No, it does. To fucking go look at the new and trending on Steam any day of the week.
Boy. Well, yeah, I mean, successfully trend on a spend, I guess. Spend on a trend, like actually support a good version of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, there's always going to be, you know, YouTube screamers and stuff. I think the YouTube screamers probably had fun with this. You can scream. It's scary.
Yeah,
you can scream if you want to. Let's talk about this weird randomization element, the weird kind of way this is a little bit of a roguelike.
I want to hear your thoughts on that as somebody who is more in tune. Because like I've played this twice. My second playthrough, I went down difficulty level. I went from normal to easy just so I could have those additional save points, because my purpose was more to make notes than it was to like experience it. Like I already had my first playthrough. The second playthrough didn't feel like appreciably different than the first to me, though I did notice, you know, some differences in like consumable item placement. And then obviously that shotgun thing, right?
Yeah. That's the main thing, you know, as we mentioned before, there are essential items that'll be there, but the codes will be randomized, and then the pickups are randomized. Mm-hmm. I don't think this bears roguelike replay.
No.
You know? It's because I knew all the tricks, like my interest in playing this again was pretty low. Mm-hmm. Not because I disliked it, like I'll play it again in a few years, but you know what I mean? It wasn't like, oh, another run. It's not Into the Breach. Mm-hmm. Getting to know... knowing the shape of it would kind of hurt it. Like I'm not going to play for speedrun purposes. I'm not going to try to do it as fast as possible. I'm not the same way again, Resident Evil. I'm not the person who's going through and trying to beat Resident Evil in 2 hours to get a new outfit for Jill. Mm-hmm. You know, it's cool that it allows that, makes it different. There are some fun achievements tied up in that. Like if you get faster than the frictional devs, there's an achievement and they can beat it in 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Which is fast for a randomized game like this. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it works as such. It feels like an Easter egg, not a back of box feature, and I was kind of surprised that it was presented as such.
It is weirdly prominent when you read about it. In fact, I was a little bit kind of in the lead up. I was obviously curious because it's frictional, and I don't know, they've not made a bad game to my mind except for Penumbra Requiem, which is garbage. I'm happy that it is not purely randomized, and it does feel like it is more in line with the Resident Evil challenge run kind of deal.
They're adding a new difficulty to it, so people are rising those ranks. Mm-hmm. You know, like some people are asking for harder than hard.
Yeah.
So they can try to do that. Mm-hmm. The difficulty, I think, is called unfair difficulty.
Nice. Yeah. And this has mod support. I'm actually really curious to see what kind of mod or custom scenario stuff people make.
Yeah. I hope that doesn't immediately go to, you know, challenge fuckery as well. You know, the Mario Maker thing. I want to see some real weird ideas. I want to do both.
Yes.
You know, maybe there's somebody out there trying to do something interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. This game didn't get as good reviews as I would have thought. Like this didn't necessarily make a huge splash. It aggregates to about like the upper 70s, you know, on Metacritic and whatnot, you know, landing it in 7 out of 10. This feels like this is like in my top three games that came out this year.
It's quite good. Like, I'm a little bit surprised by that myself. I think that if I had to guess, there's an expectation setting kind of thing. Like, this is so different and new to what they're doing. I can imagine, you know, fans of the franchise, you know, not being as into it, you know, especially if they loved Rebirth and they wanted an expansion on that. This does have lore expansion on that a little bit. But if they wanted to continue that story.
Yeah.
A weird thing I found out in researching this is that there are people who are really into the Amnesia series specifically for the plot.
That's fine.
The plot is complicated. Yeah. You know, it is kind of Byzantine, but I was just very surprised because, like, I don't think it's a bad plot either, but it isn't enough to draw me in.
You know,
the plot in The Dark Descent is cool. It's what I lived and what the player did. You know, what I as the player did is what was cool about it. That was my favorite part. And this game makes that the focus of it.
Yeah.
What you are doing as the player, as the character, not the story you're being told. So I think that that's, you know, I'm in the same place of wanting this to be bigger. I'm kind of not too surprised by it because Backrooms Alike and Flashlight Houses are very big right now. And people love this lore.
You know, and, you know, talking about the lore, I mean, we can hit these differences, but like this lacks actually an awful lot of the like major hallmarks of an Amnesia game plot, you know, like the, you know, like this, like the setting, like the orbs and the shadow, not as much of a factor in this, but, you know, barely at all.
Even down to guilty protagonist, like you are a guilty protagonist.
I love the way that it articulates on that. It's so good.
It's real. It's real minimal. You know, compared to previous Amnesia protagonists who arguably did worse things as their inciting incident.
I would say,
You know, but just... and this one is pretty small ball. And again, the amnesia barely factors into it, right? Like you, your character being an amnesiac is not important. And that's a core amnesia thing. That is also probably something people are responding to. Like this idea of Oppenheimer after getting bonked on the head and waking up the next day is kind of part of the, you know, the genre, the subgenre, you know? This doesn't do that.
God, I love the subversion though.
No, it's great. It's super good. Like the story of this is really good. Even if you have to, you know, either go online and read about what you missed or play it a couple times to get all the stuff.
But yeah, I'm champing at the bit to talk about the particulars of it. We don't know what Frictional is going to end up doing next. Hopefully it is more like this. I desperately want this to be a success for them.
Yeah, I hope so too. I would like to see them do more, and because I'm cheerleading them in general. Let's get into it. You have this little intro. This only plays your first playthrough of the game.
You can optionally skip it on your second playthrough if you want to.
Which I imagine you'd want to.
But it opens with this quote about, you know, talking about like, hey, surviving the war requires this basic set of skills and having the good goddamn sense to do what you have to do. You know, you're going to have some common sense to solve this one, kind of leaning into the mechanical side of this. And it starts with you being driven into this trench by machine gun fire. You know, you are fighting in World War One. You are on the front and your tutorial is taking place in this very high stakes setting.
With your buddy Lambert, running around on top.
His friends call him Chris.
Christopher. His friends call him Chris. Christopher Lambert.
His name's not Chris.
That's a Deep Venture Brothers cut. A Party for Tarzan is the episode that's from. He says he'll meet us up further down the line, and we're getting a tutorial about what to do. These are very canny tutorials. For example, they don't, at one point you have to blow up a door with a grenade. They don't tell you that. You know, the first door you blow up with a brick, you know, you throw bricks at it until it blows up. The second one, they just like, you can figure this out.
Yeah.
You're learning weird little bits about your hand, like having to reload manually, mm-hmm. stuff like that.
Yeah.
Until eventually you run into a dead end of the trench and the Germans throw gas in there.
Yeah.
You're about to die. Lambert jumps in with a gas mask.
Yeah. I love that your friend is this Milhouse. Like, you've got a mill, you've got a Milhouse friend.
You 100% have a Milhouse.
And you know, so we get a transition here. It's like a flashback, and we hear, the screen's black, and we hear Henri and Lambert gambling to see who takes patrol duty tonight, and Lambert, yes. loses. You know, fate is a bastard.
Yeah, try to beat that role.
Yeah,
and then he does. Fate is a bastard. This is an inciting incident.
Mm-hmm.
A new scene happens. We're looking at this huge crater on the floor near the scorched forest. We hear gunfire. We're not supposed to be here. This is no man's land.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's this red smoke billowing out of the crater. We run down there and we see the camera pushes in. We see Lambert. He's down, yes. there. Injured. So it fades out. We fades us with us down there. We've made our way down there. He's begging for water, and we fill our canteen with water. On the ground, which has this kind of gross blue. It has this green mist hanging over it.
Mm-hmm.
Very smartly, that is important, but it also just seems like war effects.
Yep.
You know, heightened reality war effects.
Yeah. If you've played Rebirth, you're thinking,
it's the demon semen that they come up with in Rebirth that you're not supposed to drink. That was a red Ketist. Akitist.
Oh,
Akitist. All right. Sorry, Akitist.
Wait, you mean you were under the bridge
there for a second? Sorry.
Okay. Wait, was Anthony Kiedis your dark passenger there?
Yeah, for a moment I just got possessed by Ramadam Alamadam Ding Dong.
Around the world. Yeah.
So Lambert drinks it, and Henry pulls him out of the crater, and they start trying to carry him back, but the Germans find us, so we're in no man's land. It's no good. We're hit up. Lambert begs us to leave him behind. We're not going to do it, but then a grenade hits us.
We're blasted. And we get a text card saying, "You are now on your own. Learn, adapt, experiment, and survive," before we wake up in the infirmary sometime later. Nobody is around, and this place is a fucking wreck.
A doctor's note tells us that we have amnesia. We have a coma. We go in a storage locker. We get our wind-up flashlight, part of our journal. And Henri talks about being in agony over something he's done.
Mm-hmm.
He's done something horrible. Even eating feels bad to him. And because we played amnesia games before, we're like, oh, he summoned demons.
Yeah.
You know, he did something like that. He opened another realm.
Yeah. He tortured people for immortality reasons. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. No. So it is setting us up for that, trying to solve that mystery. And we proceed through the infirmary here. Like, the surgery office has this photo of a badly lacerated corpse, like something with huge claws has taken it apart. We learn this is Sergeant Renard, apparently taken apart by some kind of animal.
Yeah. There's a closet with all these charred human remains. You know, somebody's piled and burned them there. That's going to teach us something. Mm-hmm. And we go into the mess hall, and the first thing you see, the way it's framed, is there's a shaft of light on a hole in the wall.
Mm-hmm.
If you played horror games, you know what that means.
Yeah.
Nothing comes out of that just yet, but it's just there to spook you.
Yeah.
Somebody calls for you. This is a dying soldier who recognizes you, and he explains the premise of the game.
Yeah.
The officers were cowards. They fled and they collapsed the exit tunnel behind them. You had to blow it open. It's the only way to do it. There's dynamite in the arsenal and a detonator handle in the excavation site.
Yeah.
That's what you need to do.
That's
and again, you know, going back to the earlier thing, do it. You know, if you're going to play this game, go do those things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not exploring and fucking around.
Yeah.
Go do those things. You will have a better time.
Right. And then, you know, something's rattling in the walls and he gets spooked, right? He says, hey, you know, I know I'm going to die no matter what. And he gives you his gun and says, you know, kill me so that thing doesn't get me. You know, there is ammo in the pantry, right?
Yes.
And so you go and grab it. And when you're coming back, something with huge claws reaches out from the hole in the wall behind him and then yanks him in.
Yep.
And so I do not know. I tried getting a shot off on him, so he would
die.
You
can't.
Yeah.
If you go get the bullets first, as soon as you get the bullets and turn around, or he gets sucked in before you grab the gun, like, there's no way to save him. There are, but that's not true of later things. There are people you can save in this game, which is weird. So we have the pistol now. We have the pistol and two bullets. so we can shoot the lock that leads out of the infirmary. This is kind of a tutorial still. We have to get that. They want to make sure we leave with that gun. We get near the door here and the generator runs out of fuel. It is dark.
So for me, I shot the lock off of the door and then I even heard this loud ruckus behind me. You know, the thing is after me, and this, you know, chases you to the admin room. I forget what happened the first time. I don't know if this is an actual monster threat at this point.
No. Was it for you? This is just sounds. The monster on the first time, the monster cannot show up until you put the do the wheel thing. So it's pretty late. Actually, you're safe for a long time starting this game. Weirdly enough. You go into the admin room. This is your safe room. It even plays a safe room music. You know, make a note of that. And there is a save lantern in another room, like a big amnesia style lantern. It's tons of stuff on the ground to grab, and there's a map. And for now we're trapped. Again, this is the tutorial. It's a very cleverly tutorialized game. It's teaching you about codes and shit, so we can't leave until we put in a code.
When we say there's a map, there is no map you can just reference. It is a map that is up on the wall, and there is a like sub map that you find in each of the wings. So it'll give you the shape of the space, but you're not like tracking your position by pressing M on
You look at this thing and you're doing Morrowind rules. You're creating directions for yourself, like take the second right and the first left, which I, you know, there's been thousands and thousands and thousands of words spilled about how cool that is when that comes back. You know, everyone likes it. You know, a video game needs to make that a thing again.
So we need a code to get out of here. There's a note that is talking about the rats being more aggressive, saying like, hey, they're swarming dead bodies and attacking the wounded. We instituted this policy of burning the corpses. The chaplain said it was okay.
The chaplain gave us permission. They also say the beast hunts in the dark, keep the generator running all the time. You have to have a supply of runners, people covering each other. I love that they specifically say like two people send out at a time, because that'll never happen for you. You find the pocket watch, which we mentioned is to sync up the generator, and a dog tag here, which has the code on it, which we can use to exit the room.
So I start up the generator and use the code to get out into the main hall. The problem is there's the exit, which is collapsed, right? And then most of the other places you can go, they've been locked down. There's a chain mechanism that has put down shutters on them. So we need to figure out a way to open that up. There's a note from Boyron near the main entrance. He talks about like, hey, I am headed to get the dynamite and the handle. That handle is in the Roman tunnels deeper in hell. Roman tunnels.
There are Roman tunnels about. I love that you start out right next to the exit. Very nice touch. So the way to the soldiers' quarters and the prison are both locked by the security gate. And there's a handle to turn the chain, but when you do that, the handle breaks into pieces. So we have to do a little, again, this is still tutorial. We have to do a little, you know, the monster cannot attack you yet. It's just here to make you feel spooked. You have to crawl into the mission storage through this vent, and the beast will make noises around here. If you're on your second playthrough, it can attack. Otherwise, though, you're still getting the noises on the first playthrough.
And then you get in through into mission storage where these lockers are. We find our locker there. One of the diary entries is sticking out from under it. We can't get inside because we don't know our code because we were bonked. But this is talking about like his guilt and like whether or not people know what he did. You know, he's asking these sergeants about something important, but they're shrugging it off. And so he's vague booking in his own book.
So this is under lockdown as well. Getting into the arsenal is also under lockdown. We're going to keep coming back to this locker room. Whenever we have new codes, similar like Evil Within 2. You know, you're going to come here and open these up. So we're heading towards the officers' quarters, this long corridor with kind of small rooms off to the sides for the officers, organized around the strategic command room there.
And we're poking into individual little little bedrooms for these people, right? Finding stuff. So like Jobert has a journal entry here talking about how Fournier, their commanding officer, is just raving about how they need to seal the beast inside the bunker. Like he's the person who is leading the charge to say like, you know, fuck it, officers, work it now. This thing needs to stay down. And Jobert disagrees, saying like, hey, you know, this is going to fuck everybody. He's going to go and try and get the arsenal code, you know, from Fournier in order to broadcast it to the men so that they have a way to get some arms to defend themselves from whatever is pressing them.
they're going to abandon, but they're going to give them a way to get some weapons.
Yeah.
You know, this is one of the key thing we need to find out. So we got that information. Now this stuff will be updated on your map.
Yes.
And the first thing, you don't have to make notes of either codes in this game, mm-hmm. or like objectives. They'll just show up as red X's on your map. An earlier entry talks about how Fournier was cracking under the fear, accused this captured German prisoner of escaping from his cell to murder his men.
Yeah.
And tormenting the men. This is going to motivate his torture, which is why there's a key item in that prison cell.
Yeah. That guy's not going anywhere.
No.
Yeah. Blanchett's room is our first trap, the first one we're likely to run into. Mm-hmm. If you're paying attention, you can see that it is rigged up, but there is a flare on a line. When you open the door, it will drop into some gasoline. Yep. You know, he was hiding in there trying to lure that thing into the fire, right?
Yep. Which you know, you can spot these, but you have to be constantly on the lookout for them. And this mechanic, this tension of you having to be on the lookout while also being in a hurry and under stress,
mm-hmm.
you will miss things that are obvious to you in the sober light of day,
yes,
so to speak. So like, you will, in my experience in this game, you set off traps, you do mm-hmm. dunderheaded things like a bungler, you trip over tripwires that are very obvious. You know, that is why traps work.
Yeah,
you know, is you're not paying attention, it forces you not to pay attention because you're spooked.
Mm-hmm. And it's dark sometimes too. Yeah.
Yeah. Dark and scary.
Delisle's room, you can't get in directly. You know, the door is locked. So you've got to go in through this vent in the lounge. And there's this report of a medical incident. Soldier LaRue, onset of my joke, Soldier LaRue was helping the engineers map out these Roman tunnels when he found out that the walls were seeping this strange glowing liquid. And then suddenly he blinked. He found himself standing in this vast plane of darkness. Here's a quote. In the distance, there was a sickly light that seemed to be calling me forward. Between it and me, malformed shadows move. And we, as Amnesia fans, recognize this of like what happens when somebody first makes contact with the orb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, yep. He feels like a part of him is still stuck there.
Yeah.
He's having his own little amnesia journey. Mm-hmm. His locker code gets you a replacement handle for lockdown gates, which opens up the three sub areas.
Yes.
Fournier's room, as we go into that, has a situation report. The bunker fell into chaos after Tremblay's death. He ordered his men to form into squads, hunt down and kill it, but they insist that their bullets don't work. So they tried to fight back.
Yeah. And it just pisses this thing off. Yeah. Yeah. I love Reynard's room. You've got to use a brick. You've got to blow it open. There's nothing very important inside. However, you see that he is hoarding wine. Like his whole room is full of wine. You find a note later on. I think it's related to the German prisoner. He's like, hey, this whole thing would be easier if we loosened the wine rations for the officers, of course.
Yes. Yeah. It's one guy stealing it all.
Yeah.
There's a exploding barrel and a gas barrel in here,
mm-hmm.
or there is a gas barrel inside rather.
Yeah. An exploding barrel on the outside. Yeah.
We'll hit it. Yeah.
Yeah.
We get a note from Fournier here talking about, needing to root out the saboteurs in the tunnel, use any means necessary to elicit confessions. We can't allow this treason to go unpunished. There's a mutiny
mm-hmm.
going on. We're here way after the fact, but there was a mutiny.
Yes. Yeah. People didn't want those Roman tunnels open. A command and these higher officers, well, we're going to learn they were planning to use that to get behind enemy lines, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
They're structurally sound, they find. Mm-hmm. So they're going to do this surprise attack. The path to maintenance, if we want to go there, there's a tripwire grenade. Mm-hmm. The wine cellar is completely locked up at this point. There's a chain on the door. We can't open chains yet. And there's mm-hmm. a vent cover that uses a specific screwdriver. Mm-hmm. We can't get in there yet. We're gonna need some keys. And a dead body at the entrance to maintenance that will gather rats shortly if we don't set it on fire.
Yes.
We don't know that yet. Mm-hmm. During this time, we are going back and forth to our place. One of the big MSIM genius things I felt
mm-hmm.
was when I realized I had limited space in my storage. Realized I could just leave the fuel on the ground.
Yep.
By just, the thing.
Yeah, just stack it by the generator. There's nothing stopping you from doing a pile. That.
Nothing stopping you from doing that with anything. Like you can leave stuff on the table and everything like that too.
Uh-huh.
Your personal storage is real. And during this time, you also find fanny packs.
Yep.
In a funny Resident Evil way. They give you one extra slot. Yeah. And you find one of them in this first section as well.
Yeah,
signaling that the mechanic is available.
Yeah, I mean, I like it even more so. Like, rather than just leaving them at the center, I would also leave like little caches in the in the central hallway or at the entrance of some of the wings too. Mm. I was just like, okay, yeah. Well, I'll just put like I've got this here. I don't necessarily need this. I'll put it in a place where I will have easier access to if I need to come back to it. Right.
Gotcha.
So making little like squirrel caches almost.
Yeah, I did not make a lot of squirrel caches because I got very good at running back to the main room in need be. And ended up kind of, I mean, if I was doing more of those, I would make less darkness trips. Like as my radius of comfort expanded, you know, a little bit into each biome of mm-hmm. like if I just needed to grab something from the entrance, I would do a darkness run.
Yeah.
For it. Because you save right before you do it. You're risking very little.
Yeah.
You know, a weird way this game interacts with, you know, all horror games do this, but they're interacting with fake threats and real threats, right?
Yeah.
All of the threats in this are kind of fake because the only thing you can lose is one excursion.
Yes.
You can save as many times as you want. Mm-hmm. You know, this game, if it had permadeath, would feel so much different.
Yes.
Than that. Like that is the thing. So when we talk about you know, I want to circle back to this real quick. We talk about you play this game like the decisions you would make in real life. I can see that being a turnoff for some people because it's like, it's super stressful. I don't play video games for that. Mm-hmm. You pretend to, like you would play it in real life. Like you are also, you're playing with a dungeon master and you're both playing pretend a little bit.
Yes.
You know, you're not losing much mm-hmm. from this.
Yeah. And it's a wonderful thing about horror games. Like, you know, a fake threat still feels like a threat. And that feeling is, you know, still counts.
You're a dog with a chew toy. Like that's the whole point. You know, you're pretending to have an emotion. Mm-hmm. You're having a real emotion from pretend play.
So we take that crank and we open up the lockdown doors. And suddenly we have these three big areas open to us. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not going to tackle this in the order that we're going to talk about it, especially if you don't know what you are looking for, or how to get it. So we're going to be talking about this primarily like area by area. There is like an optimal way to go about it. The natural playthrough is going to have you kind of like gumming at the edges, looking for, you know, something that will help you find purchase somewhere else. Right.
Yeah. Poking into them.
Yeah.
But we're going to start with maintenance.
Yeah.
So there's a map room at the entrance. This is boarded up and it says rats stay out. When you go in, the rats there are dead. And there's a note about how they started changing after they dug into the Roman tunnels. The rats are organizing.
Sorry. We've got to bring in the Pinkertons. The rats are starting to get ideas.
Got to bring in Pinkerton in the brain to put them down.
Just anybody noticing these rats are now the size of soccer balls, have glowing red eyes, and love human blood? this is each of these wings has like a little clerk room where we're gonna get the map, and usually it's a cache of resources. As we walk down the hallway, we can see that there is a rat who is chewing on a body, and it actually activates a tripwire trap that drops a flare. For this, it draws the beast into the area.
Yes. This is not the bravest way to play. The way, at least for almost all of this game, once the beast showed up, I ran back to admin.
Yep.
Turned off the lights and hung out and then came back. So a lot of these initial triggerings, I did not have the intended playthrough of. I was just like, okay, I'm going to let that clear itself out and then come back.
It's none of my business.
Yeah, it's none of my business. I can be back. I can go sit in the dark in a locked room.
The foreman's quarters is where you learn about Molotovs. Like a guy has been putting them together. This is the wing that has like the biggest rat problem, right?
Yes. There is a note apologizing to someone named Gavin for needing to burn him to stop the rats.
Uh-huh.
And the author of that note fled to the pillbox. So we know there's stuff up there. Move on. The main hallways are all burned up. There have been a lot of rat fighting going on here. There are collapses. And it'll kind of funnel you in a single direction. Like fighting has happened here.
Yeah. Love the pantry. You can get some things here, but primarily it is just rats. They're the ants you found the fudgesicle, right?
Yeah. Big payday.
Yeah. The man, to be a rat in a French bunker with a cartoonish wheel of cheese right there.
And wine. Uh-huh. This is how you get ratatouilles. Like they come out of here with their brain boxes and like big red glowing eyes and kill Patton Oswalt and control him. That's what I think happens in that movie. I don't know. I don't watch Pixar movies.
I think Patton Oswalt is the rat in that, maybe?
Not originally, though. I think he ate Patton Oswalt and became... I think the rat ate Patton Oswalt, and that's how he got his voice.
Got you.
In the prequel. Yeah.
Okay. Huh.
Yeah.
What a magical world you live in.
Yeah. It's the world of Disney, my friend. anything's possible if you imagine near it. But a bunch of rats got a big cheese wheel.
Yeah.
Good for them.
The workshop is a big space with lots of stuff that'll make noise if you knock it over.
Yeah.
You gotta be real careful in this too, because like even physics objects will make noise that bring the monster down.
Yes.
That. But the main thing here, and something that is very difficult to deal with, is a tunnel. There's a tunnel that will run over to the other side where the pillbox is, where the foreman fled to. But the tunnel is full of bodies, and those bodies have brought rats in, and you've got to figure out a way to deal with them. By this point, you probably have not found the lighter, and thus the Molotovs are not going to be a great way to deal with it. So you gotta figure out what to do, because you can't crawl through them. You will die.
Fuel is really, really rare at this point.
Yeah.
I eventually ended up having enough fuel.
Mm-hmm.
And you can eventually, near the end of the game, actually unlock an unlimited fuel.
Yeah.
If what you're talking about making people nervous, if you've ever been like, if you're like, I want to get everything, eventually you can. You can get a route between a wine storage and a fuel tank that will basically give you effectively unlimited fuel.
Yes.
At this point, fuel is really rare, though, and fuel are the two big anti-rat things, the Molotovs and the torch.
Mm-hmm.
So you're using grenades on piles of rats or avoiding them. You can't in this tunnel, though.
Yeah.
You have to get rid of at least some of them.
Yeah. If you've been over in the soldiers' quarters in the kitchen, you probably will have found some gobbets of rotten meat, which you can use to lure them. But I grenaded on this. Yeah.
You get over through this, a note by the pillbox says that if you're looking for the key, Foreman Stafford and Father DeRay both have keys.
Yeah.
You can also blow your way through munition storage to get to it.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go either way. Wooden doors are able to be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
Other doors are able to be destroyed with grenades.
You're going to want to go look for that. Look for the priest, though.
Because
that chapel rules.
It's the origin of evil.
Mm-hmm.
The door to fuel storage has a grenade trap. These tripwire ones, you can, once you have wire cutters, that's how you disarm them.
Oh, I never realized that. I always thought I always thought it was like, every single time I need to find a place to hide, activate this, and then fucking beat feet to get where I need to go. Yeah.
I assumed, I didn't blow this up because I assumed it was a non-standard game over. It's a fuel storage. I thought blowing this up would just blow, like, it wouldn't matter how far I ran because there's a gigantic tank of gasoline in there.
Yeah. Like, no, you can blow it up.
I assume that was the everybody in the banker dies ending.
Might have been the preferable one. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't come to this until later when I had the wire clippers.
Yeah. Yeah. I never figured that out.
We'll get rid of traps. Yeah.
Oh, that's fun. I like that.
Yeah.
Even though the tripwire traps that go across the hallways?
Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck,
you kneel down and use the bolt cutters on them.
Wow.
You
learn something new about Amnesia the Bunker every day.
Yeah. So I didn't get in here. Well, the flip side of me playing it that way is I didn't get in here until way late.
Yeah.
This would have been useful at this point because fuel was really rare at this point. Having access to this would have been really cool, but I didn't get it until near the end of the game.
Mm-hmm. So the way this works, it's a big I assume it's unlimited. I'd never tried to empty it, but this is a place where you can fill empty bottles with gas, and it is one charge for the generator, right? It is the same as these little fuel cans we've been fighting around. It's great.
One of the breaks of reality from this game is that once you use a fuel can or a bottle, the bottle and fuel can both go away. You can't refill a bottle.
I thought you kept the bottle.
You don't keep the bottle, I don't think.
I was pretty sure you kept the bottle. Yeah.
Because there's like a big, near here is the wine cellar where there's just tons and tons and tons of bottles.
Yeah.
Which I assumed was, I don't think you keep the bottles. I could be misremembering. I have to fire it up. I know you don't keep the gas tanks. You just throw away this metal gas can into the ether.
So also right here, like right off to the side of fuel storage, is this chapel, which is, you know, the most Amnesia of the Dark Descent place in here. Like the, even the hallway is decorated with these bloody chains. And when you go inside, bodies are up on display.
It's Hellraiser.
Like, yeah. They're strung up, crucified on barbed wire. The altar is covered in heads. It's pretty rough. And the father, is pinned on, you know, on the wall inside of the confessional. He was put up with these spikes, and the pillbox key is right next to the body. This is where the monster lives.
Yes, and this is one of the few scripted spawns for the monster. The monster will always show up here. This is where I found out that staring at the monster through a closet makes him kill you, because I was hiding in the closet. Yeah. Staring at the monster, and I was like, "Oh, he can open the door." Fuck. We find Lambert's journal. He recounts the night of the attack, saying the water that we gave him was thick and sweet, like a syrup. Yeah. He found the strength to carry us back to the bunker after that explosion, and he feels like he's getting stronger and stronger. This ever-growing super soldier will kill us all.
Yes. And he remarks, saying like, "Oh man, I lost this toy. I bought a toy rabbit to bring back to my son. You know, it must have, must have dropped it in the bunker. I don't know why he took it out on patrol with him, but regardless." Yeah,
his lucky rabbit. Yeah. It makes him filled with French ennui.
Yes.
This has happened.
Yeah, like, yes. You know, the thought of it being in that crater still fills me with despair. Yeah,
this is a hint. Yeah, this is Jason Voorhees' mother's sweater.
Right.
So we use that key. We get into the pillbox where Foreman Stafford has been dead for a long, long time. His eyes have been eaten. We get his dog tag. It has the code for the locker, which has the wrench. Great little bit here. If you hang out in the pillbox long enough, a German sniper takes a shot at you.
Yep.
Because I felt pretty safe, up here. I'm like, nothing climbs.
Yeah.
No, they put a sniper in there. So,
and also it's like, all right, well, I could just like climb out of here. And it's like, oh, like into the bullets whizzing by, dog.
Yes. Yeah. It is. It is still war.
Yeah. You know,
World War One has not ended yet.
Yeah. So now that we have the wrench, we can find stuff.
That is why you must go into the Roman tunnels to get the Treaty of Versailles and end the war. You emerge from the pillbox holding it up like Link in Zelda 2.
Now that we have the wrench, you possibly would have gone into the prison and found you couldn't do much over there. This wrench is, it lets us open up these very specific bolts that are on vent covers, right? Yeah. So getting us alternate ways into places. Now we can go over to the prison. In my first playthrough, I saved the prison for last. I should not have done that. I was terrified of the prison because prisons in Amnesia games are always bad news.
Yeah. Yeah. This one is not so bad.
Yeah.
Here. The bad thing, I mean, it's hard. It's a combat or it's a little puzzle.
Yeah.
When you get in, we can hear a German prisoner begging for his life. He's black bagged in a cell with torture implements tied to a chair. The bolt cutters are right next to him. So you can use the wrench to get to the door in the warden's office, which has the door opening mechanism from video games. You recognize it. There's a button for every door.
Yeah.
If you can shoot the prisoner, put him out of his misery. However, when you open the door to get that cell, the beast will be attracted by the noise there and will go for the prisoner at that point where you're going. You can save the prisoner. Technically, you have to distract the beast.
Yeah.
To do it, you get him to follow you. You go get the thing and then kind of run him in a circle.
Yeah.
And that will work.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing happens. You get like an achievo.
Yeah. Yeah. Me being the person that I am, one rip between the eyes. He doesn't even know it's going to come. It is a mercy.
It's probably better. He's just been starving in terror after having his fingernails like torn out and stuff.
Yeah. He's sitting in his own piss. Like it's not good. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you get in there, you open that up, you read the notes here, like, the leadership here are bastards. Like this German, you know, when they captured a bunch of people, he had his rank patch was ripped off. So they figured that he was an officer. And so they decided like, oh, let's keep him around to interrogate him, learn about the attack plans. So they starved him and beat him. Sergeant Reynard also was looking for wine to help fuel his torture sessions.
Yeah, right. And also to good cop him.
Well, of course.
You know, they talk about later, like, oh, some food will loosen his tongue.
Yeah.
You know, we grab those cutters. Now we can now cut chains and padlocks and traps. So you head to the arsenal. This has also suffered a lot of damage. A lot of fighting has happened here, as you might think. The arsenal wing, the arsenal itself, though, is locked with a code. Only the high-ranking officers have this. And you remember, the one guy said he was going to radio that code back so people can get weapons to fight things off.
Yeah. So we're going to be coming back here. We just do not have what we need right now. Yeah.
Yes. We can reach the entrance of the Roman tunnels, that excavation here. It's flooded. Again, playing amnesia tricks on you.
Yeah.
You're pretty safe in the water in this one. But we know that water's scary from the Dark Descent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you've got to venture out, making a little bridge of barrels and boxes to get over a barrier in the middle to get the fuse box to power up the pump and drain the flooded area. Right.
Yes.
And then we head deeper in to the opening of these Roman tunnels, to one of my favorite sequences in the game. This rules so much.
Yeah, this is cool.
Yeah, it's a grisly sight. A table here is covered in blood, and there are two eyeballs on it. And there's a note by one of the soldiers, Toussaint, talking about how, oh yes, I had the right eyes to see the real world that is contained down here. But then in a later entry, he says, oh, these visions torment me. I need to take out my eyes. And next to the eyes is a little hand drill. So he popped those bad boys out.
Yeah. And because it's a frictional game, the eyes are physics objects, which means you can pick them up and toss them around, which undercuts a little bit of the horror. But it's still pretty fun to have these perfect spheres you're rolling around and throwing around like cue balls.
Yeah.
This is, I can't remember where exactly. There's a diary entry that foreshadows this guy.
Yes.
That I remember seeing.
It's over
in Mutineer, right?
Yeah, yeah. So there are a couple. There is Neuer, who is the classics guy who is translating some of the texts, who is like scaring everybody. But he is one of the guys who first went into the tunnels when they blew it, and he became obsessed with the place.
Yes.
So like everybody else was more interested in like, hey, the mutiny was to blow up the entrance and seal this place off because they saw it as the source of this evil. Toussaint, he was okay with being sealed in here as long as with sealing the entrance, as long as he was sealed inside. Right.
Yes.
Yes.
I can't remember. I saw, tell of that guy. So then when I found him, it was cool. And I was like, oh, it's this guy.
Yeah.
He starts kind of talking. He says his note, I see it now. See it now, see it not, whirling and whirling, it calls for blood. He's going to write a little song about this game. a note from Reynard talks about him warning him about the tunnels, as you mentioned, home to these sadistic bacchanals.
Yeah.
They had an arena where any who fell in the pit fell into a screaming darkness.
Yeah. And so we get into these tunnels and we look through a hole. We see down to where the detonator is, right? To where this handle is, but we got to figure out how to get there. And we're in ruins. Like, it's full Roman here. And these tunnels are full of these strange rock formations where the shards of stone are floating and humming. This is a visual hallmark from Amnesia Rebirth, like the veil between this world and the dimension that Alexander came from. For the first game, is very thin here, right? It's an alien physics influencing here.
Yeah. And this continues as you move through. The area is full of this thick amnesia mist, very thick blue mist, where you're going to see shadows cast around people. People and monsters, like almost kind of like ghosts.
Yeah.
This is kind of a boss fight here.
Yeah.
While you're seeing all of these shadows and monsters that don't exist, Toussaint is prowling the halls, the halls of this, singing his little song, shooting rats with shotguns. It's very clever. It lets you know that he has a shotgun. He will always shoot a rat first.
Yep.
So once you know he's here, whichever one of these ghosts shoots a rat, pop him twice.
Mm-hmm.
He's still just a person.
Yeah.
He's not a monster. You can kill him. Yeah. You just have to get the drop on him.
Yeah. It is, very high stakes and very quick. You only have to kill him if you want the shotgun. You can't actually just like go around him. There are lots of empty bottles for you to throw to lure him into different places. You can leave him alive. That is not a kindness that you would do to him. And he's got to go. He's being tortured by these otherworldly demons and tempted by the presence. So,
After you do that, you get the shotgun. The detonator handle is behind a door that we can blow open. The shotgun will also blow it open. It's a wooden door.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a small hole in the wall of the detonator handle chamber here that leads out to the crater, the original crater from the beginning of the game where we found Lambert. Yeah. Looks a little bit different now. The water is blue. The rocks are floating near it. And we can find Lambert's dog tags and, more importantly, his toy rabbit.
Yeah. And his dog tags have the code for his locker. And his final journal is here talking about, like, oh, he's spending all of his days praying in the chapel. You know, the bunker is falling into chaos, and he is having these strange dreams, you know, about a bloody purpose higher than any of man's petty wars. There are many entries in this, and he's obviously deteriorating as he goes. Yeah. And he's talking about, like, these physical changes that are going on. He barely recognizes hands. They're growing gnarled and bulbous.
He's itchy tasting.
He is fully itchy tasting.
Yes. Yeah. I wonder what happened to him. So next we're going to go to the soldiers' quarters to get that arsenal code. As you mentioned, we know that's going over the radio. The clerk's office here is locked. We can get him with a brick or many of our brick-shaped munitions, nature's keys. There's a note reporting on the incident from the beginning of the game. Lambert dragged us back to the bunker after we survived that initial explosion. He was in fine condition, the note says. It mentions the crater he fell in was near one part of the Roman ruins. Yeah. And he shouldn't be in fine condition, it's worth noting. When we pick him up, he can't walk.
Yeah, he tells us, he does the, you know, leave him behind, I'll slow you down thing. Yeah.
Yes. But now he's fine.
Yeah.
He's got a healing factor. This is what has happened. He's become Wolverine.
Yeah. Most of the other areas, you would light up new rooms by flipping the breakers. It did not matter what order you flip them in. Here, the breakers kind of form a puzzle. They are daisy chained. So there's a note that says, like, yeah, if you turn off one that's earlier in the line, all of the others will all of the others after it will flip off. We need to make sure that we find these, roughly in order and turn them on so that we power up the communications room at the end.
Yes. Yeah. Which is tricky because you're doing it while doing amnesia stuff. Mm-hmm. The door to the comm room is locked. It's unpowered. We have to hit the switches in sequence, you know, while we're looking for this key to the door. Yeah. To create this daisy chain. The majority of this area is made up of bunk rooms. So there are lots of bodies and rats hanging around here.
Yeah. And we learned about Neuer. We find his journal. Like, you know, they found those Roman tunnels and they found all these old texts. And like, hey, you're a nerd. You like hear about these classics. Just read these. And he's like, okay, this is not Roman. Like, I'm not reading Latin here. It's close enough that I can figure out that some really bad things are happening in these tunnels. You know, these are the writings of a cult of people who were preoccupied with some other world where they had found the secret to mortality. And this other world is full of monsters and just the all pervasive screaming and moans of the suffering. And this cult had seen these tunnels as a gateway to that realm.
Yep. Spooky stuff. And Toussaint, as we mentioned before, when we find his writings, he's been obsessed with the tunnels as well. He's having dreams where he's hanging out with the cultist, drinking this strange thick liquid and beginning to transform. Becoming more bestial.
Yeah.
This all sounds very familiar. The security room here is locked, but you can use a brick or a grenade or a shotgun, bash the door in. The key box just has a note. Because of heightened security regarding the sabotage, they've taken the keys. But Quint has hidden the key to the comms under his pillow.
Yeah. So we go find his bunk and get that key. We also find another journal entry about the night where we rescued Lambert. Conscience, you know, compelled me to do something about what I did. Right. Since we found our bunk and our dog tag, we can finally open up our locker to learn what the horrible crime we committed was.
Yes. Which is actually not that horrible of a crime.
Right.
Which is part of the why this is so small ball compared to other amnesia to its benefit.
Yeah, you know? It is a small thing that just you couldn't have known it would turn out this way. You precipitated all of this for a very, petty reason that you could not have foreseen. Right.
Yeah.
So you use sleight of hand. You cheated in that dice roll that you heard at the beginning of the game. It was an easy patrol. Anybody should have been able to, get through this. You just didn't want to do it. You were lazy.
Yeah.
Right.
You were lazy. And Lambert is a prankster.
Yeah.
He pissed in your canteen, put lice in your bed, and the incident with the barmaid. I don't know what that last one is because it's purposely, but vague enough. But like, I don't know, pissing in your canteen.
That's pretty. No, I wouldn't be very happy.
That could create an entirely different amnesia. Like there's like amnesia red and amnesia blue, you know, that you pick up, and it just which side of this prank war you're on, because that shit sucks. But what happened? You know, Lambert didn't come back. You know, dusk the next night, you were worried about it enough that you headed out to look for him.
Yeah.
And you're feeling very guilty about this. This is a prank that has gone bad.
Yeah.
You know, it was just a joke. The plot of the inciting incident of this is literally, it's just a prank, bro.
Yep.
As a guy, as a soldier.
Yeah. I thought it was just a joke. I never thought. And therein lies my sin.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and again, to be fair to our guy, I wouldn't have predicted this would happen.
Yeah.
You know, like this all seems pretty unlikely.
Yeah. You forgot it was war, right? Like it seemed like an easy run, but also, you know, anything can happen. You doomed your friend.
Well, yeah. War aside, he also gave him super juice. like he didn't forget about nothing. There's super juice in play that nobody knew.
No, I mean, at this point, when he is torturing himself for this, right? He's just he presumes that his friend is dead, right?
Yes.
And at best, he is injured somewhere, and can't come back. Yeah, just like it was literally sliding doors shit, right? Yes. Yeah. The super juice was unforeseeable. Didn't know super juice was in play. Yeah.
Force multiplier, unlike that war has never seen.
Yeah. So, you know, and just when we say like, hey, this is a small thing that spirals out, the beast is Lambert, right?
Yes.
You mutated him with super juice. And, you know, it just, this whole bunker fell and you are trapped in this situation because of some weighted dice and some sleight of hand.
Yeah, I mean, or, you know, who knows, right? Like you could have been out there and then anyone could have drank the water.
Yeah.
You know, I think that part of having the soldiers, they're obsessed with the tunnels. Mm-hmm. And everything, having dreams of drinking the water.
Yeah.
You know, this was inevitable in some way, shape, or form. This is just what happens when you build a bunker next to an Eldritch space.
Yes.
You know, don't.
Yeah. try to avoid it if you can.
Home inspectors will tell you that's bunker mistake number one.
So that, you know, mystery solved. We know what we did. It is very small in relation to the series, and I love that subversion.
I like small stakes just in general.
So the side hall off of one of the bunk rooms ends with this elbow that has a body and some rats, and there's a door that is locked here. There's this barrel at the end of the hallway that you can very comically just like slowly drag to the end and to blow up the door to get into the cafeteria or to get around the rat body. It's very unreliable whether or not you're going to be able to tip one of these barrels in order to roll it. So me moving this was just like very just slowly sliding it upright across the floor.
Again, not that different than if I had to move a very heavy barrel.
Yes.
You know how awkward that would be. there's a note from Farber here that we can get into. The scratching thing is still there, even though the saboteur faction has blown the tunnels to seal them.
Yeah.
Farber's the only one left, having not been court-martialed. He vows to kill the beast. This is the last note. He didn't do it.
Nope.
And we're getting into the comms room. We have the bolt cutters, so we can get into the comms room from here.
Yeah. There's a filing cabinet with one of Neuer's notes on it, his final note, saying like, hey, you know, the people who went into the tunnel are having these like just increasingly feverish dreams that are tempting them to come back in. And then they're also being, you know, punished by upper command for what they're saying about it. Like Neuer is going around warning people like, hey, this is a terrible idea. Upper command is very focused. You know, the officers here are very focused on using those tunnels to get behind the German lines because upper command is, you know, telling them like, hey, we need to make this offensive. Right.
Yes. Yeah. War.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We activate the little transponder and get this message from Joubert, containing the Arsenal code. He begs for forgiveness. He was saying this back so we could fight back.
Yeah.
So we can return to the arsenal now that we have the code. And we can get this and get deeper into that part of the facility. We can see where the dynamite is, but we have to kind of take the circuitous route to get there.
Yeah.
Here. And this is like the back rooms at a Best Buy.
Uh-huh.
This looks like that level from Fear 3. this maze of shelves and boxes. This is where I found the box comically perched over the rats.
Uh-huh.
I came here way earlier, to this part. I did these in a different order. It was very funny.
This is so big. Yeah, lots of traps. This is so big. There are lots of opportunities to make a bunch of noise. You know, things precariously stacked on each other. Like this in my first run was very tough to do because there's really no shortcut.
Surprisingly, very little ammo as well.
Yeah.
It's all been used. You know, you're going to the arsenal, but it's after the fact. Like, it's unrealistic in video games when you go to an arsenal after a disaster and it's still full of bullets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those bullets were put into zombies.
Yeah.
You eventually reach the dynamite here and you have to trace your way back to the entrance. There's no Doom 3, noise to get the dynamite that causes the monster. You just have to make your way back.
Mm-hmm.
But it's pretty likely the monster has been triggered at some point.
Yeah.
This point. We return to admin. Here's the thing. Mm-hmm. The safe room music doesn't play.
Yep.
is one of my favorite things that a video game has ever done.
Yeah,
it's great. And you look over, there's a hole in the wall.
Uh-huh.
The thing has burrowed into your room. It never attacked me in there.
Never, no.
I don't know if it can. This is a psychological trick. I couldn't find that. But going into the room, like running back into it, turning on the light and not having the safe room music.
Yeah. This place that you've been to tens of times, you know it like the back of your hand, and suddenly, something's different.
Beautiful moment. Like, just beautiful moment in gaming.
Yeah.
Right there. Love it. Probably my single favorite thing that the game does is probably that moment.
But now we have everything that we need. We have the dynamite, we put it against the rubble. We have the handle, to put into the detonator, and we blow the debris at the entrance, but instead of making a way up, it actually creates a hole deeper down into the tunnel.
Yep. There's nowhere to go. You may as well do this.
Yeah.
So you drop down, we're in the end game. There's no turning back, find ourselves in that arena that was mentioned before, the massive chamber with these mechanical bridges, stretching across it. And the beast finds us. It's on the other side of this expanse. And there are a couple of different ways to beat him here. This is also immersive.
Yes.
If you have the rabbit toy, we could use that earlier. If you give that to him when he's out, he will leave. Yep. It basically ends an encounter, and then he will put it back on the church where he lives. Yeah. So you can use that as a reusable get rid of monster card as you're playing the game. If you use it here, it distracts him. He holds on to it. He kind of hugs the toy. You can burn one of the bridges or destroy one of the bridges under him while this happens.
Some of the bridges are metal. Some of them are wood.
Yes. This also doesn't always work. He can get, he can shake it off and leap out of the way before this. Like, it is hard to time.
Yeah.
You can use this to slow him down, trap him on different places enough for you to build a bridge or build a little stairway with very heavy crates to get to the exit. And then you can, the other thing you can do is if you can make it so he doesn't have any way to get across a bridge to get you, he will jump across a gap. If you shoot him midair, he falls.
Yeah.
Like Resident Evil 4. God. And then you can kill the monster. That is the difference between the good and bad ending, is whether you kill him or not.
Right. That's the big one. You are fucked either way. But
yes. Yeah. Bad things happen. There's not a good ending, but it's better if we've killed him.
So the first time I thought that I had killed him, but turns out he had survived, and so I got the quote bad ending this time. I didn't find the crater in the first run, so I didn't have the rabbit toy, but having this and knowing that monster is Lambert, I put that down on a wooden bridge. He grabbed that thing and started hugging it, and I just used a shotgun to shoot the bridge out from under him, and he fell down. If he gets you, he will attack you, and you will be thrown off the bridge. And if you go down, they talk about that screaming darkness that enveloped the cultists who fell down there. It's the shadow of the orb. That is its only appearance in this.
Yes. From Amnesia.
From the series that this is.
Yeah, from the series. Like, this is a connection, that's down here. So you get there, you do a little bit of a chase sequence either way after you, do this thing. If you kill him, things start falling, like it starts crumbling. You have to give you a reason to leave. If you've killed him, you get to the exit tunnel, which is the side of the crater.
Yeah.
And you fall down into this kind of watery pit full of bodies here. And you see these flashlights over the rim as the Germans start saying, Schnell, Schnell, you've been caught.
Yeah. The bad ending is basically the same thing. You fall out and you look up as the beast crawls out of this hole that you just cleared. Uh-oh, you just unleashed it into the world.
Yeah. I assume it is about to kill you and all the Germans.
Yes. Yeah.
Presently. Everyone present is getting fucked. Mm-hmm. And that's your ending. No ties to the grand. This is like Tales from Amnesia.
Yeah.
You know, a side story where the amnesia shit happens. Mm-hmm. We're living in a world with the orb and the shadow and all of these forces. This is the way it's leaking into regular people's lives.
Yes.
You know, it's a short story. It's like using amnesia as a setting to set mm-hmm. things in.
Yeah. You are not solving the problem of the underworld in this. Nothing that you do reduces its influence or the way that it is peeking through. Right.
Yep.
And that's, I mean, this takes place before Rebirth, right? This is 1916. Rebirth is 1937, I think. Right. Mm. You know, so like it, you know, even this isn't integral. Calling this Tales from Amnesia is actually a very good way to put it.
It's a side story and you are an unimportant character.
Yeah.
In this. That's very appealing after a series that is all about you having these dark secrets, mm-hmm. you know, having these guilts. Really good game. I don't, you know, in a few years I'll play it again, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a thing that got my roguelike going to just start it immediately from the beginning. Yeah, but like it's really fun to see something do something new with the space.
Yeah.
The series and the space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, all of I love this game. I have so many hopes that it is going to make an impact on, you know, the horror space, you know, see all the stuff we talked about at the beginning. I think this is incredibly well designed and well put together. What I hope this demonstrates is that, you know, very interesting and interoperable mechanics are not mutually exclusive, with an interesting story and with heavy atmosphere and something being just absolutely terrifying. Right.
Yeah.
Like all of this plays together so well. This is very well integrated.
Yeah. Very, very, very well integrated game. Very well focused. Mm-hmm. You know, taking those scarcity mechanics, like these elements of survival horror, mm-hmm. you know, and really forefronting them, like in classic survival horror. Like I said before, the thing this reminds me the most of is Resident Evil 1.
Yeah.
Which is a weird thing to say, and it's not. There's a lot of differences. But in terms of the rhythm of like trying to advance through a puzzle box. Space. Mm-hmm. It's Resident Evil 1.
Yeah.
You know, specifically 1, not Resident Evil 4 or Resident Evil 7, Resident Evil 8. You know, that's great. I want that pendulum to swing back towards interactivity. Good stuff. Yeah. Good pick.
Love it.
Yeah. So thanks everybody for listening. We appreciate you. If you have thoughts about Amnesia the Bunker or any of this month's games, which include Dredge and Signalis, write in at duckfeed.tv/contact.
Yeah. Deadline is September the 15th. If you have
October
thoughts about
the 15th.
Oh, yes. Sorry. October the 15th. That's right. We're talking about horror games. Write in by October the 15th. If you have thoughts about multiple games, please separate them into multiple responses. Same thing with November's games. Write in by November the 15th if you have thoughts about Sayonara Wild Hearts, Grand Theft Auto 5, or The Order 1886. The Order is our premium episode for that month. Signalis is our premium episode for this month, meaning everybody gets the generalities, but the full episode is for our patrons.
Yeah. Also for patrons, our various bonus shows, including mm-hmm. the new show coming up, Real Lich Hours.
Yeah.
Keep an eye out for that. As the time you're hearing this, it is unlikely to be out. Mm-hmm. We might have a timeline. Just keep an eye on all of our channels. We're looking to launch that before the end of the year. Mm-hmm. We're still kind of putting together a little bit of structural stuff and then getting art, music, and stuff.
Yeah.
Excited about all those things, though, from what I have seen so far. So it's worth the wait.
Yeah. Early response is good, and we're very heartened by that.
Yeah, very positive, which we appreciate. Mm-hmm. If you are listening to this and you are not demographically identical to me or Cole, and you have a project you'd like us to shout out, please send me an email at gary@duckfeed.tv. Include pronouns and pronunciation and a brief write-up of your project, and we'd be happy to throw a little plug in there. Nothing this month, or this week, rather, mm-hmm. but line is short. Shoot me an email.
Cool. Please leave ratings or reviews in whatever podcast directory you choose. That does help spread the word about us, and we appreciate when you do that. Also, you can follow us on Blue Sky. I'm at Cole Ross. Gary's at Gary Butterfield.
Yeah. We're on Spotify now.
Yes.
This is not an endorsement of everything Spotify does. In fact, we dislike them as a platform and a company. But it was easy for us to do, and people wanted it. Hopefully it makes it easier for our listeners.
Yeah. Specifically, Spotify for premium stuff. You just put in your Patreon credentials. You get access to the premium feed. We had been on Spotify for a while.
Yeah, regular Spotify, but now the premium feed on Spotify. Yeah. So, but you know, fuck Spotify.
Yep.
And in addition to that, thank you, Gwen.
Thank you, Gwen.
We appreciate you, Gwen.
Gwen, our producer, who helps put these episodes together.
Yeah. And until next time, what should they watch out for, Cole?
I would say watch out for that demon semen.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't be ketist.
Make sure that you have
your ketosis.
Put up your ketus wards.
Yeah, I think that there's like you take some ginkgo biloba every day, you don't get under the bridge.
Yeah, so. A ginkgo a day keeps the ketus away.
Yeah.